Hi there.
Hi, gorgeous. I haven't seen you in the longest of times.
I know.
We're not friends anymore. How come I never see her?
I know. I've missed your last couple calls.
I send you love. Oh, my God.
Same. Same. You look great.
Oh, right back at you. And look at that calendar in the background, files. Woohoo. You're at all organized here. Look at
that. You know, people tell me that all the time and I never feel like I am, but thank you.
That sounds like a compliment. Yeah, you should take that as a compliment. That sounds like something to be coached on. And I saw your post. I don't know what is going on. I got to talk to my tech guy because I don't get any notifications from the community. Like, it's the weirdest thing. Like, I should be getting notifications as the owner every time somebody pings me. And I'm like, okay. Mm-hmm. And I'm not getting notifications. So at any rate, that's why I'm like, so thank God Corey was like, hey, did you see Wendy's question? I was like, what?
No, but you always answer. I mean, I haven't been good about posting either. Yeah. And that's one of my goals is to make sure I go out at least once a week and do something.
Cool. All right. Well, let's dive in because that you asked a question. And mm-hmm. so that requires a reply. So here's the thing. And I'm so glad that you asked this question because really what I want for these calls, because Corey's is like coaching office hours. And I kind of feel like, you know, here I am sitting with all this knowledge in my head. Mm-hmm. And so while this isn't going to be a teaching call per se, it should be a call about the tactics of reinvention in a really conversational way. Okay. So I'll talk, but I also want this to be a conversation because I really want to know like what it is you want to know, because this is an opportunity for us to like, you know, be
Sounds
specific,
good.
Right?
Sounds
okay.
Good.
So you asked about the stages of reinvention, right? And really, of course, there are four stages, right? We start with an idea, okay? Like kind of sussing that out, but it's an idea not just for like, what do I want to do, which is what people typically think it is, but mm-hmm. ideas about like, who do I want to be? Like, what's important to me? What do I want in my life? Okay, so it's like sort of the small idea and the big idea. And the thing is, the other thing that's important about this stage is that it's not to be the idea, okay? It's not to be the one thing that, oh my God, here's the answer, and now I'm moving forward. All it is, this seems like a good idea so that I can begin moving forward. Because it's in the journey that the real thing starts to show itself. So this stage is really just about getting a good enough couple of ideas, all right? Not just one, because you don't want everything in one basket. Good enough couple of ideas so that you can start moving forward. But fully expect that those ideas are going to be refined, because when you're in that first stage, everything's academic, okay? So it's not tested in your life yet, right? Does that make sense?
I'm so glad that you're saying this, because yes. I am right there with you, and it makes me feel better about where I am.
That's right. Okay. So talk to me about this and tell me what stage you're at, and we'll discuss this, because this is, it's about the reality of it, right? And so are you feeling like you should be knowing and you don't know, or what's going on with this?
It absolutely is just this evolving picture. And I, you know, just hearing you say it's not just one idea makes me feel so much better, because for a while I was thinking that I had to have a vision that was crystal clear. And thinking of that in terms of one vision. And as time went on and I continued on the journey, I found, and where I am now, is that I have three roads before me. I have three different roads, any one of which I could go down, or maybe more than one. I don't know that yet. Mm-hmm. And Coach Corey and I have been talking about that, and we've been talking about, and kind of now where I am right now is the stage of, I'm going to start walking down. And like you said, that's when, you know, the picture starts to become clearer in the doing.
That's right. In the doing. Because here's the thing, Wendy, is that you need real data. See, right now, these three roads that are in front of you are ideas,
mm-hmm.
but it's not possible for you to know whether or not they're a fit because you don't have data yet.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you expect yourself to have to choose or to have to make a decision, then you're going to actually end up stuck because you're going to feel like, I don't know. That feeling of I don't know is completely natural. The only way to know is to be in motion, start getting data in, and then you'll start to refine. Is this it? Or maybe another pathway or offshoot might open up.
Exactly.
And that's cool too, you know? But it's walking down the path that starts to actually help the idea take shape.
Exactly. And I feel so much better, you know, about where I am now than where I was even a month ago, because it was all very confusing. And for somebody like me, who's very structured and you know, I think very sequentially.
Uh-huh.
And I'm used to doing that and working that way. And also I'm used to getting results.
Uh-huh.
And so to be in the midst of a situation that, you know, is not clear, is not, there's nowhere, I'm not sure where to start. And if I could try to start somewhere, but I'm not sure that's even where I want to be on that. So it was all very unsettling,
mm-hmm.
just the not knowing.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't realize that it would take time. And that's when I had, you know, a really bad day. And I was sharing this with Coach Corey about a week ago. Mm-hmm. That just one of those bad days we all have that we just feel so discouraged. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so tired of praying for the same clarity and the same, you know, for years and years and years. And just tired of it and feeling like this is never going to really be clear to me. And blah, blah, blah. And then I realized what, you know, towards the end of the day, it came to me through another person to trust, number one, mm-hmm. to trust.
That's right.
Number two, and I know that, I know it, but I had to be reminded.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And God often speaks to us through other people.
That's right.
So that was the first thing. The second thing that made me feel 100% better was that to look at my expectations and to think, wait a second, this is not, maybe I'm expecting a little too much here.
That's right. That's right.
And this is not going to happen overnight.
That's right. It doesn't.
It's going to take time.
Right. Your life didn't happen overnight, Wendy. I mean, everything that you built in your life wasn't an overnight process. See, there's a way in which you forget that, right?
Everything
you did took time. And you've got a lot of tools in your toolkit, but you only control 50% of the process. It's less, really, right? But you control what you do, but you don't control what life brings to you. You don't control when God brings things to you. You know, you don't control any of that. And so that's where, you know, faith and trust are muscles. Right? And they only get stronger when used.
Yeah.
And there are always new levels of getting stronger in them.
So, yes.
You know, this journey is a faith walk. It really is. And you have to be very strong in your faith. And the only way you get strong in your faith is to have those kinds of moments and to say, all right, I'm going to put myself back on the path and keep going, even though it feels really uncomfortable, which is normal. Right? Normal is to be uncomfortable. And even though it feels unclear, right? It's not that it actually is unclear. It's not. What's clear is only the next step, not the whole thing.
Right.
And so what oftentimes we're just not okay with only that next step being clear. We're like, I want to know all this other stuff in order for me to take the next step. And that's not how faith works. Right? It's not.
That's right.
It's like you gotta let me unfold this. And reinvention is an unfolding journey. Unfolding. So you take that step and then the next step appears. And it appears and it appears. And then all of a sudden this little offshoot appears and you would have never been able to get there if you hadn't taken those two steps of faith first.
So true.
Right? But it sounds like, you know, the ambiguity is kind of an issue in your head, right? Like, because it feels really ambiguous, and that sounds like an uncomfortable space for you. Is that?
Yeah, definitely. And because some of this is our culture, and some of the, like, just the way that we're used to working. You know, when you're somebody who you know, you're driven, you're very goal oriented. You're like I said, you're used to getting results. You're used to having a plan and following the plan to get the result that you want. And like you said, it's just like, it's almost like you go into this whole different dimension when you realize everything doesn't work like that in life. Mm-hmm. Even though it sounds so simple and like you, I should know that already. But I think for so many years, and I was so driven, and I was so, you know, such a planner, and I was climbing the career ladder, and it was all very, you know, do this, get that. And sure, and like you said, and I think that's a really important point, that you only control about 50% of it all. And that's something I like need to post, and I need to always remember that too. And also the faith journey, the faith that it's a muscle that grows stronger. And
with use. With use. With use, which means it has to be challenged.
And you have to let go.
That's right.
In order to have.
Yeah, you do.
To bring it.
That's right. You do. You have to let go. And this.
You have to let go.
You know, the thing is that we learn, like this journey is about growing into the person who can have the life we say we want. Right? So we get challenged. What comes up are the ways in which we need to grow. So yeah. For you to have the life that you want, like taking your hands off that driving wheel, because here's the thing, Wendy, you could do it the way that you've been doing it, but what that is inherently limited, right? By doing that, you are limiting your results.
Right.
And so it's time now to not have your results be limited. There's more waiting for you. But it's waiting outside that, you know, space that you can control.
Exactly. I love that.
Right. That's right. So, and that is what it is. Like, I was actually just talking to this former client of mine who's going to do a video, or actually he's already done it. He's going to send it to me about his life. Okay. And where his life is now. Versus 2 years ago when we were working together. And he said he couldn't have imagined, like in his head, this was what was so interesting. In his head, you know, we were talking about just getting him to this like different job within his current career. But then once we started working together, there was this whole nother path waiting for him, but he couldn't see it because he had this box on it. So now he's down that other path. Mm. And he's like amazing. But it took 2 years, right? And it took an interim step. Like he took another job, you know, that was closer to what he wanted, which was unexpected. And then ended up in his step right now where he's just blossoming. So it's, you know, it's being in motion. It's being willing to step out. And the idea is that it was way more than what his concept was in the moment that he started. So this is important too, Wendy, because if you are willing to take your hands off the wheel and just only focus on your 50%, way more can come in, right? If you start responding to what is brought to you.
To what is brought.
Right? That's the thing. You have to respond to what's brought to you, the information that's brought to you, the insights that are brought to you, the opportunities that are brought to you. So your job is your readiness, you know, you're showing up, you're keeping the faith. You know, putting the one steps, and then life's job, God's job, the universe's job is to bring all these things in. So you're trying to bring the stuff in. That's not your job. Not your job.
It makes so much sense.
Right?
Just from an intuitive standpoint, you just know it. You know that that's truth.
That's right. That's truth. That's right. So patience, that's one thing for you, right?
Right.
Reinvention Law 9, it takes the time that it takes. I have another client. He always writes this to me. He's like, that law. He's like, that's the hardest law. It is hard. It's hard for me. I mean, like, you know, this is like the law of life. It takes the time that it takes.
So there are 4 general stages.
Mm-hmm. That's right. 4
general stages. And then there are different laws.
There are different laws, right? So laws are the principles, right? Those are the principles of reinvention. Mm-hmm. And the stages are just that, the stages that you go through. Okay, so the stages are, as I said, ideas. Second is mindset. How do you think? That's such an important stage because it's very easy if you're not thinking correctly to get derailed, just like you said, like frustrated, lose patience, lose faith, all those things, or to feel like something's wrong with you. So managing our mind, okay, that's what the mindset phase is about, is using our mind as a tool for creation as opposed to letting it run amok mm-hmm. and blocking us from what we want.
Mm-hmm.
So learning to examine our thoughts, our beliefs, and actually direct them consciously to create what we want. Like that's the purpose of the mindset phase. Now, I say it's a phase, like the second stage, okay, because you don't get to the rest unless you start there, like start working on it, but it's not a stage that stops when you move into the next one, right? It's a practice.
Right.
Okay. But first you have this idea and then immediately you're in mindset, like, you know, what do I like what's happening now, right? This is the stage you're in, right? You're like, my mindset, I want to lose faith, I'm frustrated. This is all mindset. All mindset. You know? And it'll kind of swirk back and forth. Okay. Then, okay, so then you move into strategy. So once you said you have 3 different paths. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now strategy would be relevant, okay? What am I gonna do tactically to explore these paths? Do I have my materials in order to explore these paths? Do I have my team, which you have your team here, right? And are there other people that need to be a part of your team to do this? You know, are there any gaps that need to be filled in order for you to do that? And that would be part of the strategy phase, okay? So, because you can't move into launch if you have gaps or if you don't have your tools in order or if you don't have your team in order. I mean, you could, but you're going to end up right back out of it because you're going to have something that you need and it's not there, right?
So I think I'm stepping into that stage now because I'm needing to put together some kind of a plan, like a project plan or of sorts, you know, and something where I can record the actions that I'm taking and the results that I'm getting.
Okay, great. Well, so that's great for the progress log, right?
Oh, okay.
Coach Corey, has she been talking to you about the progress log?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So, and if you see, I posted in there on Beverly's thread, like a little download about how to do a progress log.
Oh, good. I'll check that out because I need a reminder.
Right. Yeah. No. So here's the thing. And you guys are like my, you know, like inner circle just starting. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Things are going to open up in like a week. They're supposed to open up next week. But again, it takes the time that it takes. I've been like, right. So I go through.
I know.
But here's the thing. Okay. So what's happening is we're going to start requiring progress logs in order to have one-on-one coaching.
Okay. And
the reason we're doing that is so 2 reasons. One is to make sure that you guys are doing the things so that you're going to have results.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also so that we have a mechanism to help you in between.
Mm-hmm.
So if you post your progress log and you're like, okay, I did this plan and here's my plan, then Coach Corey and I can go in there and look at your plan and help you with it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's the point of the progress logs. So, and you might say, okay, I need to do this, and this, and you report out on that. Here are 3 things I need to do this week. And we're like, okay, great. And then the following week, we want to know what happened. What three things did you get done last week? What three things are you going to do this week? And what three ways do your mind, you know, does your mind need to shift or do your habits need to shift in order to be done? So there, those are the, so it's three, three, and three. Three things you did last week, three things you're going to do this week, and three ways your habits or mindsets need to shift in order to get it done. So you're keeping your eye not only on the tactics, but on your growth.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's going to help me a lot because that's the state. That's what I need to do now. I need to start getting it down into writing and following, you know, developing a plan, a strategy.
Okay.
And I like that a lot to go back, going back and reflecting and like bringing the mind in, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Perfect. That's perfect.
Awesome. Good.
Is there like a template for that? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, awesome. Yeah, that's going to help me.
Yeah. Look at the download. Cause it's all like, I laid it all out. And then I even did like a little video. I think that's linked from there.
Okay.
So, yeah, no, it's all structured. Cause I was like, okay, this needs to be structured and clear.
Good. That'll be so helpful.
Right. That's right. So, and
thank you.
Yeah, well, of course. And thank you for your patience as I am like pulling all this stuff together and learning, right? Mm-hmm. So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to have Nikisha reach out to you and schedule like a 15-minute call for you and me. Mm-hmm. So I can get your feedback. So I want to like make it better, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I know everything already. So I'm not a judge. You guys are the judge, right? So you got to tell me and so I can make it better. All right. So anyway, start doing the progress logs because, you know, I do my own progress log, obviously not in our community, but in a community that I belong to. And I do our progress logs and I actually, I update mine every day because it helps me to just check in and say, okay, here's what I got done today. Here's what I want to get done tomorrow. And it also shows me my thinking because back to where you talked about your expectations. Once you start getting it all written down and you start seeing what you accomplish and things, two things will happen. One will be like, you'll be surprised at what you do get done. And then the other thing is that you'll be surprised at how your expectations were not congruent with what could really get done. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. That happens to me every day.
Right. 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 That's right. And you'll see it in black and white. Like, so really, when you start seeing that in black and white, like, I just wrote all this down, really? And, you know, what else is impacting it, right? So that's one of the things, one of the questions I ask is like, okay, you say you want to do all this, but what else is going on that week? Okay. And so when you're actually sitting there writing it to us, to the community, you'll start to say, maybe what I'm asking of myself, you know, is it really fair? Maybe I need to be kinder to myself and give myself more space to create and give God more space to help me. Right?
That is kind of a theme that that's becoming much more clear to me this week. And it's funny because I know, like I did have that big aha a couple weeks ago about the expectations. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, I know it sounds ridiculous, but I don't think that I really connected that back to the struggles that I'm having with the time management. And that, you know, here, I mean, I thought I had ratcheted back. I'm not saying that I'm going to get 10 things done today. I'm saying these are the three things I want to get done, but I'm lucky if I get one.
Right.
I need to think of it in that terms of those going back to the expectations, not just, I just made that, you know, that jump there because looking at it every day, I mean, the aware, you know, noting it first step, hey, this is not, all this stuff is not, it's not where it needs to be yet. It's not flowing in a comfortable way. And you know, something that's helping me a lot, and this might be just me, this isn't going to work for everybody, but I have a theme for every month. I have a scripture verse for the month. I have a theme for the week. Ooh. And I'm starting to, at first I was very much directing these things. Now, as I have my quiet time in the morning, these things, the Holy Spirit is bringing things together for me.
Oh, nice.
Clicking for me. And sometimes I'll change it, what I think it's going to be. Nope, it needs to be this. Okay. And it doesn't come to me like somebody telling me, uh-huh, write this down and take it. But it just becomes apparent in whatever, you know, my Bible study reading is that day, you know, the what I'm writing, what I... the little things I do every day to the devotional, and then it just kind of appears.
Right.
And so that's helping me because that's giving me that structure that I need. Now my challenge is I have way too many things that I want to do in the time that I have available. And still, that's kind of an overall thing. So in the morning, there are times when I can take an hour, you know, and do my quiet time. But there are other times when I think it would be more effective if I didn't have, you know, five or six different books that I'm doing morning, evening. And then you know how you get, it's too much.
Too much. Yes, it's too much.
So simplification is where I want to get to.
Okay. All right. So that, first of all, I want to acknowledge you for that level of insight, right? Because what you're doing is you're doing what I would call the disciplines, like you're reading. And then as you said, as you show up and do these things, it becomes apparent, right?
Right.
But if you start to do too much, there's no space.
Exactly. And that's when it becomes apparent, is when I'm just staring out the window, mm-hmm, and letting things settle,
right,
materialize.
That's right.
So it's margin, and it's hard to build that in, but that's my goal now, is to build some margin in to my calendar every day.
Okay.
Whatever I don't get done, you know, if it's important enough, I'll rearrange it. I'll defer it to next week. I'll defer it to tomorrow. I'll defer it to Friday. So I, you know, monthly, weekly, then I have my daily, my days, that frameworks for my days. So Monday is my admin day. It's a day for, you know, desk work, personal appointments, doctors, things like that. Tuesday is work and projects. So that's when I'd be working on things I'm doing currently with my business, things that I'm doing around reinvention, steps I'm taking. Wednesday is kind of my personal development day, you know, personal professional development, courses I'm taking, things like that I'm doing. Yeah. Okay, you're fine. 3:30? 3:30? 3? Okay. Excuse me.
Sorry.
All right.
Thursdays?
Thursday, projects and work. Mm-hmm. Friday is my free day. Yay. I know, I love that day.
Yay, I'm so glad to hear. I was like, okay, is she gonna have it? I'm gonna hear a space day.
free day. Sometimes I'm catching up, most of the time I'm catching up on stuff.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Tomorrow I'm going out with my family. We're going out to lunch. I have both my kids home for the summer. And I want to be intentional about the summer. I want to enjoy the summer. I want to, you know, so I want to take some time with them and just kind of brainstorm, okay, you know, what do we want to do this summer, or what, you know, individually together as a family. And then Saturday I'm trying to get to family day, and that's starting to happen. We went to the beach last Saturday.
Nice.
Together, had an awesome time. You know, a lot of times on Saturdays, like I'm, you're so tired from working all week. You just want to, if you're like me, you need that time to, yep, to just like recharge.
That's right.
But I'm getting, and part of the purpose, God's purpose for me in this season of my life right now that I've come to realize, and I believe, is to get back balance, to get back health, to get back health and balance. So that's kind of the overarching purpose for this season. And from there, I try to let my priorities come from that. Mm-hmm. And then the expectations come next.
Okay. So when I hear this, I hear a really lovely flow. I hear really lovely flow. So it sounds like your expectations are just not in alignment with that flow.
Yeah, that's kind of the friction.
Right, that's right.
Because there's so much that I want to do, and there's so much that I want to get clearer and get done, and there's so much that I still can't get to. You know, I have, I think it's about 10 goals for the year, mm-hmm. and I just reevaluated in June and tweaked them. And I think they're all doable.
10's a lot. 10's a lot. Yeah. 10's a lot. Because here's the thing. I mean, everything takes energy. It takes time.
Energy.
And energy, you know, it's a resource to be used, like to be spent. And so every goal you add on is less available for other goals, right? So if you've got 10, now all of a sudden that energy is spread against 10. If you've got 3, now you've got way more energy towards those 3. So if you start to put too many things on, then actually you're depleting your effectiveness. And here's the other thing too. So let me ask you, because one of the lessons talks about levers, right? Lesson number one in module number one talks about levers, activities, right? So which ones of these goals that you want to accomplish will make the other goals easier? So rather than trying to do them all at once, which one, if you focused on it and got that done, would make the other ones easier?
I'll have to think about that.
Right. So what I would like for you to do, here's a request, okay? And I want you to post this in the community. Okay, so I want you to post all 10 goals. And then I want you to say which ones you think would be your lever goals. Like one, pick two.
Okay.
Two things to focus on that would make all the rest of them easier. And then I can't wait to see that. So I can like weigh in and be like, hey.
Oh, good. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. But you should check out module one. Okay. Because in module one and their videos and all that other stuff, short, you know, because that's the other thing I realize. There's so much information that it's got to be short.
And I have. I actually have gone through module one. It's the only one I've gone through. And I know that you're going to, you know, drip those out. Yeah, that's organizing your reinvention goals.
Right. So it says there are 3 goals, right? 3.
Right. But so, they're like general categories.
They're
like
general categories, right.
Career, work, personal life. What do you want to do? What do I want to do? Personal lifestyle. How do I want to live?
Right.
And spirit, inner growth. Who do I want to be?
Right. So of those 10 goals that you have, do they fit into those 3 categories?
Yes.
Okay. So then pick one for each one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. And that's it.
Okay. Yay. Okay. I like that.
That's it. Right. And then you just pick those. And now you have your focus, right? Now it's easier to get stuff done because there's less to do, but even so, the mind will tell you that nothing, if you're only doing this, nothing else is getting done. That is a lie. Okay. I just want you to understand that our mind is false, because what will happen is that as you're doing those things, other stuff starts happening, or you start to see that what you had intended to do was really not the path to go down, or you'll start to realize that you didn't even need to do that. How many times have you had something on your list, but you just couldn't get to it, and then eventually it's like you didn't need to do it?
Right.
But you just carried that burden on your back, right? And so the stuff that you were doing, you didn't get to experience the joy or the pleasure of focus and mastery because you were carrying too many things on your back.
And this is going to help me to simplify my goals, and it's going to free up space for more margin.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Yep.
Yep. Yep.
I like it.
Yeah. That's right. Because margin is like where the joy sits.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And this is supposed to be a joyful process. Now, will it be uncomfortable sometimes? Yes. You know, will we be forced to grow? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
But is there always joy as you're making your goals and your dreams happen? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're not making yourself miserable by stuffing too many things into your margin, right?
Right.
Which we do. Which we do. I put myself right in that category with you.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
Yeah, yeah. All right, other questions that you might have?
So, all right, so there's the idea stage, there's mindset, there's strategy. What's the fourth stage?
Launch.
Okay.
Actually out there doing it, you know, you're talking to people, you're networking, you've got your materials. This is a stage also of habits. Okay, because in the launch stage, you need to have consistent habits. Because if you don't, then your momentum will start to drop. And this is where a lot of people, you know, especially people who, again, have either a lot of things they're trying to do or they haven't really kind of streamlined in it. So life comes in and then we get busy and then we drop our goals for a little while because yeah. Oh, we're over here and then we got to go back over and pick them up and now we've lost momentum. So even though in every other stage you're kind of beginning to set the framework for these habits, right? That's one of the reasons we talk in stage one about having only three goals, one in each area. If you notice, it's not even you get two in this area or one, you know, it's one in each area to focus on. It's because when you get to the momentum stage, you need to have structured habits so that you can be consistent, so that you can then build momentum to make things happen. And momentum starts to work for you so that you are not doing all the work. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So if you have too much on your plate, you're not going to be able to build momentum because you're trying to do too many things. So we take stuff off your plate. And then in the launch phase, we make sure that those habits, like progress logs, like all of these things are anchoring you so that you're taking action consistently. So it's better to take fewer actions more consistently than a lot of actions every so often.
And you know what? It's so true. When you minimize the number of things you're trying to focus on, because I'll just share from my personal experience yeah. over the summer. You know, I've been trying to lose weight. I've been trying like to lose weight for, I think I found one of my journals from 15 years ago. I had the same weight loss goal from 15 years ago. Still haven't achieved it.
Okay.
So talking to my husband and, you know, I've just got, there's all these things on my mind right now. And he goes, you know, why don't you just focus. I mean, I hear you saying over and over again how you want to lose weight and you want to lose weight. Just take this time to focus on that one thing. You have a strategy. You have a goal that is very defined. You have a strategy to achieve it. And forget about everything else for right now. Just focus on that. And I said to myself, that makes a lot of sense. For the first time, I really can just focus on that. I don't have this, you know, putting work first stuff anymore. And I did. And I focused on that and I followed my plan and I wrote down everything I ate. I kept up and I stayed on track and I've lost 10 pounds.
Awesome.
Thank you. I've lost 10 pounds. I am 5 pounds away from my first goal, which was to lose 15 pounds.
That's awesome.
And it works. It works.
It feels great, doesn't it?
Yes, absolutely. And I started out the year and I knowing that was one of my priority goals.
Okay.
I had a plan. I followed it, but the differentiator was really making that a priority. This is my number one priority right now. Period. End of story.
That's right. And so that meant you gave yourself a pass from doing other things.
Yeah.
Right.
It meant that everything else worked around that.
There you go.
That was the big rock that I made time to make that a number one priority.
Awesome.
And before I had so many priorities that, like you said, I couldn't really be that as effective.
That's right, because you didn't have as much energy to devote to any of them.
Exactly.
So if you start thinking about energy as a resource that you are spending, then it in your head starts to click. Like, if I spend this here, then I don't have it over here to spend.
Yeah, and then you get much more realistic about what you actually can accomplish during a day.
That's right.
Yeah, the energy factor. I used to think, you know, because I'm kind of a productivity geek. I'm always, you know, I'm always listening to podcasts and reading books and productivity and time and all that. I just love it. I love it, love it. So, and lately I've been honing in more on the energy factor, and I never used to think energy. Well, you know, you get up and, you know, a certain time you work all day, you go to sleep when, you know, at a certain time you're tired. That's it. That's what energy you have. But now I'm understanding that really is a factor.
That's right.
What you do, how you do it, you got to take that into account. Certain times of the day you have more energy, it's better to do certain things. That's a window.
That's right.
So now I'm going to experiment and try to do like the time blocking. And I know, and I've learned, you can't, again, I've just learned this the hard way, is that, you know, you have plans, but things happen. And right. At the moment, drop of a hat, something can throw you. And you got to be flexible.
That's right. So here's what I would say around the time blocking, which is a really good strategy, is instead of coming at it from an outside in, meaning like you're going to start blocking your time, maybe you might want to experiment with over the next week or so, not changing anything except noticing and making notes of your energy flow. So get data first.
Right.
Okay. So this is one of the things that's really important about this journey, is that we work with real data. Because a lot of times in the productivity piece, you know, and I'm a productivity geek too. I love all that stuff. But what happens is that we're like, oh, that sounds like a cool idea.
Yeah.
And so we're like trying to implement it, but we haven't really married it with the data from ourselves. So we don't really have enough information to evaluate whether or not that's a strategy that's right for us.
For us.
Right? Because it's got to be right for us.
Makes sense. Yeah.
Right? So if you were to just notice your energy over the next, you know, 2 weeks, and make notes about what happens at different times of day for you, that will be like a big light bulb moment. So that by the time you start getting to your time blocking, you're going to actually work with the data and say, oh, you know what? What I would have thought is I should do this here. But really, when I look at how my flow goes, it really ought to be here.
But let me ask you this. So certain things give me energy. Uh-huh. Certain things create energy in me. Maybe I was looking at it kind of backwards, that if I did these things, I don't know how to phrase this question, but like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe that you have your energy is at certain levels at certain times of the day on a consistent basis, but I think it is. In terms of very basic, like I'm more of a, you know, creative work is better in the morning for me. My mind is fresher. Yes. But sometimes depending on what I'm doing, it can give me energy.
Mm-hmm. Right. But again, data. So it can give me energy. What's it? Right. Do you have a list of those things? And then what I would say to you, okay, so we're going to get this down to even more of a qualitative level. All right, what kind of energy does it give you? Because the quality of energy also matters. So does it give you kind of like, so for example, there's always this thing about working out gives you energy. Yes, it does. Okay, but the question is, what kind of energy? Is it the kind of energy that allows you to do the kind of deep focused work? Or is it the kind of energy that allows you to just be present with people but not actually have to do, you see what I'm saying here? Like it's a far more nuanced resource than we give it credit for.
Yeah, it is.
Right? But the better we get at knowing its nuances, the more influence we have and the more productive we'll be ultimately.
Yeah, the more you can manage it better.
The more you can manage it better, right. So, you know, like for example, like I have an example because I now have this little focus space that I go to. And I noticed that if I eat raw, there's a raw restaurant nearby that I love. And I was going there. Now I have had afternoon slumps forever. Okay, like between 3 and 5, typically, it's like, I'm so tired. Like my dad said, I'm so tired, I can't bear it. Okay, same thing, okay?
Same.
Oh, exhaustion, okay? I always thought that was my energy flow. But what I started to notice is that when I would go to that restaurant and then I would go back to my focus space, I actually did not have my energy slump in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. So what I thought was energy was actually tied to food choices.
Mm-hmm.
And so I tested. I was like, okay, let's see what I have for lunch. And let's see my energy flow, see how it goes. And I started to notice, and I've been testing these past couple of weeks that, you know, certain things will just kill my energy, even though it's healthy, right? Because, hey, I lost 90 pounds and have kept it off for 10 years. So I don't eat unhealthy.
Wow.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. So I do not eat unhealthy. I don't eat sugar. I don't eat flour. You know, everything that I eat is healthy. But even within the structure of healthy, there are still choices that give me energy and choices that don't. So I had to be willing to take my hat off and just notice what was happening, because my assumption was at 3 o'clock I'm always going to be exhausted, but that wasn't true. What I had to happen is I had to stop, you know, I had to basically eat raw. I had to stop eating meat in the middle of the day, and then I wasn't tired. So all that's just to say is start to look at it first and then start to see what else, like, does it change? What might happen on the day that it changed?
Exactly. Okay.
Right?
Just, you know, look at how you're feeling at certain times. And I will, you know, I'll keep a log of what I'm doing. And that's something I'm doing. Mm-hmm. Anyways, doing some time tracking so I can get better at managing it. And I'll keep a log and I'll bring the energy in there, and then I'll notice what am I doing or I'm not doing around those times.
Right.
And that'll give me some good insight.
Some good insight and some good data to begin working with yourself. So this takes us full circle back to expectations, which in some ways, when we have expectations, we're not really working with ourselves. We're expecting of ourselves.
Mm-hmm,
hear the difference? So it's a partnership. It's not a partnership then. When we have expectations, it's not a partnership.
Yeah, that's why your expectations can pull you around. Mine pull me around like a dog on a leash.
That's right. Yeah, and it's like, oh, I should be doing this. I should be doing this. I should be doing this.
But say that again. I love how you said that.
That it's, you know, our expectations, basically, that we're not in partnership with ourselves.
Yeah.
Right? We're not in partnership. When we have expectations, we're not in partnership. The two are antithetical. And the way this works is partnership.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, example of partnership. So I've been, you know, working really hard to try to get this open and launched, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I've been at my focus space these past, not today, but the other days, you know. And so I was like, okay, I expect that I want to be able to work as much as possible to try to get this done. that means if I'm really going to be in partnership with myself, then I need to go to the raw restaurant. Even though in my head I'm like, oh, it's expensive. You know, 3 days in a row I'm going to this raw restaurant. I should be, you know, bringing my lunch one day, blah, 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 right? So those voices don't stop, okay? The expectations don't stop. It's just whether or not you actually follow them. So I was like, no, I need to work with myself because I want to produce. So instead of saying, I need to do it like this and blah, 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 which is all the expectations, I work with myself. So I said, okay, you know, I wanna create. I'm in creation mode. That means I need to give my body what it needs in order to be consistent from an energy perspective. Now I know my head is telling me I should be able to do X, Y, and Z, but that's not what the data says, right? My head has one story, but the data has another story.
Interesting.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that when you start tracking, you'll start to see that distinction.
Right? Yes.
What your head is telling you that should be and blah, 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 and what the data really says.
Uh-huh. Right? Yeah, I love how you bring in, you know, the data. I really like that.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Because if we start to work with that, then things become much simpler because then
much
you'll start
clearer.
When your head is just telling you a story, but it's yeah. just a story.
Yeah.
Right. So the data showed me that if I would just have that for lunch every day, I would be able to have consistent energy, you know, from 10 to 5. And that's exactly what happened.
And what are you having for lunch there?
Oh. I have a superfood arepa, which is made of chia and hemp seed and corn, no flour, because like I said, I don't eat flour, it's all raw, with avocado and spirulina on it. And then I have a raw falafel norito, which is made from like hemp and I don't know, seeds and whatever. And then they have like vegan tzatziki that's made, I don't even know what it's made, but there's no dairy or anything. And it's all wrapped up in seaweed. I mean, it is like, it's so good. I wish I had this chef in my house because, you know, raw food is not easy to make it taste good. Like you have to have dehydrators and all this. It's very time consuming. It's why it's expensive.
Wow.
You know? So we can't really, you know, I'm not, again, back to expectations. Like in my head would love to tell me, my head would love to say, hey, why don't you do this? Why don't you try? But I've learned enough data about myself that, no. So even though my head is like, blah, 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 blah. No.
Your body tells you.
My body tells me that, hey, like right now my body has been telling me, no meat. If mm-hmm. you know, no meat. And on the days I have no meat, the energy levels, it is noticeable. And it's just, again, my body, not my head, my body. And it's like, okay. Does that mean that I don't eat meat? No. I mean, I will eat meat, but now I know what to expect if I eat meat. I can't expect myself to have consistent energy, and I will have way more hot flashes. Which makes sense because, you know, meat has hormones in it. So if I'm putting hormones into my body, I'm gonna have, and it's again, noticeable. So working with the data, then you get to make choices, informed choices about, you know, what you want, priorities, how you're gonna spend your energy, all that stuff.
Hey, at least you're not having to spend money with a nutritionist. You're doing it yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's great.
You know, I'm also fortunate that my sister is an RN patient advocate. So I know her about a lot of that stuff. And my other sister is like, you know, a raw foodie serious. So I get a lot of family stuff with that. But, yeah. You know,
good.
But again, the data, I think the most important takeaway for anybody who's listening to this also, or this taping after, most important thing is to learn to listen and to notice your own data.
Yeah.
So that you then work with that. And then that gives you, you can customize these things for you.
Yeah.
Because we lay out these strategies, these reinvention strategies, we lay out a list and a toolkit, but you have to make it yours. You have to tweak it. And you can only do that when you know, like, okay, here's how this works for me. And I'm going to take these things. And this is going to be how I create my own custom program for me to get to where I need to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
We have 3 more minutes. Any final questions?
Okay. No, I mean, I think that's great. I think I know where I'm at. I'm gonna do my progress log.
Okay.
Just to wrap up some next steps, I'm gonna do my progress log. I'm gonna post my goals, the one goal in each of those 3 categories that are outlined in module 1. I'm gonna do the energy tracking along together with the time tracking, and I'm gonna focus on yeah, that's when you really get to that next step where you're like, you're taking in all this information, but then what's going to make it work for you?
That's right. That's right. That's well, right. What's going to make it work for you?
Yeah. So I think I know, you know, where I'm going over the next 30 days.
And that's all you need to know, right?
And that's right. And I remember that thing, that what the principle, that principle.
Law 9.
It patience.
Takes the time that it takes. That's all you need to know. Because at the end, I promise you, like next month when we're on this call, like you'll be in a completely different spot.
Different place. I know. But the great thing is that I can see now, the progress. Before, I could not see it. I didn't know. I was all over the place. But now, and that's very encouraging. I'm, you know, when you feel like you are, even though you still don't know where you're going to end up and all that.
But you're in the right spot. You are in the right spot.
Yeah.
And again, once you start keeping this log, you'll start to see, you'll be like, wow, like it's going to start to accelerate. So,
well, thank you so much. This has been great spending time with you.
It's been great spending time with you.
Thank you.
You're so welcome. And I will see you on the boards.
All right, my dear.
All right, bye.
Take good care of yourself.
You too. Enjoy your kitties tomorrow. Bye.
I will. Bye.
Bye.